They were coming into Hanover. Out in a field, dead bodies lay in untidy rows. The arms were up above the heads. The clothes were scattered. Shoes were missing. The hair of some was flickering in the wind, and they looked alive. Chamberlain learned. Stewart had been through here, and there'd been a brush. The sight of dead men awakened them all. A clear day, very hot. Wind swinging to the south, buzzards ahead. As they rode, ladies waved handkerchiefs, a band played the Star-Spangled Banner. Chamberlain wondered, will the people here let the buzzards have them? Or will they bury them, Stuart's men? The people of Hanover were delighted to see them. Now, as they got closer to the rebels, people seemed much happier everywhere. Happiness seemed to increase in direct proportion to how close you were. When we actually get there, Chamberlain thought, it will be easy to tell. The men will be kissing you. Chamberlain rode upright through the town. On the far side, he slumped again. For a short while, General Vincent came up to ride with him. Vincent was the new brigade commander, a very handsome man with thick sideburns from the 83rd Pennsylvania. He had a good reputation, and he had the air of a man who knew what he was doing. But Chamberlain had seen that air before. Hooker had it. And if ever there was a man who did not know what he was doing. Vincent had heard about the 114 volunteers. He was impressed. He thought that things were looking up. The army was ready for a fight. That in itself was an impressive fact, after all that had happened. He showed Chamberlain the new brigade flag, triangular, white, with a blue border, a red Maltese cross in the center. The man looked at it without interest. It meant nothing much as yet. Vincent rode back. The man from the 2nd Maine said sadly, you ever hear about our flag? It cost $1,200. But the men were tired. There was silence again. Chamberlain saw a rider going to the rear, a blue courier. Then there was the first wagon, then another. There was fighting at Gettysburg. Off against the horizon, he could see a haze, a dark haze, as of dirt stirred into the air. Nothing to do now but rest on the march. The troops became very still. It was darker now. The land around them was hilly and green, turning slowly gold, then hazy purple. It was a beautiful afternoon. At dark, word came forward to go into bivouac. Vincent came up and stopped the column, and the men moved gratefully out into a field, carrying the rails of the fences with them for evening fires. They had marched more than 20 miles again. It was now 100 miles in 5 days. Now, for the first time, the new Maine men heard the call, Dan, 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 Butterfield, Butterfield. And then down the road came more riders, rushing to the rear on lathered horses. Chamberlain looked up to watch them go, sensing alarm. He could feel the gray army beyond the hills. A moment later, there came the bugle call, Dan, 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 Butterfield, Butterfield. Then, forward. A universal groan. No rest now. The rattle of the rails being dropped. A general cursing. Chamberlain reformed the regiment out in the road. Dispatch from Vincent. Move out. Word of what had happened moved slowly down the column, but it was a long while before word came down to Chamberlain. By that time it was well after dark, and the moon was rising, yellow in hazy air, huge in the trees, gazing like one single vacant eye, and Vincent rode up. 2 corps had been engaged at Gettysburg and had been driven off. The 1st Corps had done well, but the 11th, those damned Dutchmen, had run again, as they did at Chancellorsville. Now the 1st was holding and screaming back for reinforcements. John Reynolds was hurt, possibly killed. Proceed with all possible speed. Chamberlain did not protest. In the darkness, he could feel his strength rising, coming over him in the cooler air of evening. Not far to Gettysburg now. He could hear no guns. But now, along the roadway, there were people rushing out, people lining the rail fences, anxious, overjoyed. From houses back off away from the road, there was a waving of flags, a fluttering of white handkerchiefs. Women lifted lamps at the windows. There were many healthy-looking young men lining the road, and some of the men from Maine grumbled. But the rest were too tired. Chamberlain saw some staggering, then one fell out. He collapsed in a clatter of falling rifle, of mess tins rattling in the dust. He was pulled aside. Chamberlain arranged a detail to pick up fallen men. On and on. Now it was much darker and the moon was high. And then ahead there was an officer, a staff officer, sitting on a black horse. He rode out to meet Chamberlain as he passed.